We're in Psalm 47. Last week we saw Psalm 46, and as I said, it was one of my favorite psalms. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. By the way, if you've ever had questions about the Trinity and you may be confused about it a bit, last Sunday's message in Chetty Campus on the Trinity, and hopefully it would help explain it a little bit from what the Bible has to teach about there being three persons in the one God. So you might find that a little interesting. Just pass that little tidbit on to you. Just go on and you can listen to it there. But Psalm 47:1 is a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of praise. We've had our melancholy psalms, as we said before, but this one is a psalm of praise. It's a short psalm. And when you first look at it, you might say, well, what are we going to talk about here? We're going to talk about the Lord. And when we talk about the Lord, something should stir in your heart, and that is a desire to praise the Lord. You were made to glorify God. I think I've quoted the Westminster Confession of Faith a few times, in that the chief aim of man is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. That's what you were made for. If you had, an object made, a guitar, for example, and you used the guitar to drive fence posts with, it wouldn't last very long, would it? No, maybe the first post, there wouldn't be much left, right?
Fresh.
Right. Or if you wanted to use it for a baseball bat, it wouldn't. It would also be end up being battered very quickly.
Longer.
Not maybe a little longer.
As a
probably depends on whether you're a good swing or not. Whether you might strike out enough that it would last a long time. So, but if you take a guitar and it's used for its right purpose, then it becomes an incredible instrument when it's played. It depends on who's doing the playing, right? It really does. Well, God has made us for something. We have been made by Him to give Him glory. And when we are in that place, when our strings are tuned and we're in the right place and God is playing our strings, so to speak, then we our whole being begins to line up with the Creator. And it is so funny because so many people are afraid to let God have that much control in their lives because they think they're going to lose something. It's almost like the guitar saying, well, no, I want to play ball. I want to play ball. Right? But it's no good for playing ball, right? No, I want to do this. I want to do that. But all the while God says, no, I've made you for a purpose. And we know that we make stuff. Like people make things, right? Now, God made everything from nothing, but we make stuff from the things that God has made. But we always usually make stuff for a purpose, right? And it's like, why would we be trying to put a square peg in a round hole? Why would we, make something if it wasn't being used for its proper purpose? But if we could grasp that, if we could begin to understand that God has made us for a purpose. And if we walk in that purpose, everything else will begin to fall in its proper place. Our lives will fall in their proper place. The fruit of the Spirit will begin to flow in our lives as we surrender to God. We don't lose. There's no possible way you can lose. Didn't Jesus say simply, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the other things will be added to you? Isn't it make perfect sense when you stop and think it through, the logic of that? If there is a Creator at all, and if He actually made us, then, and He made everything around us, the whole planet, He has a plan for us. And wow, to begin to walk in that plan, it's incredible what God can do. You never know the circumstances that might come up. This week, early in the morning, I woke up and immediately there was a person's face came to mind. Just boom, right in front of me, almost like a vision of this particular person. So I knew immediately I was to pray for that person. And so I spent time crying out to God for this particular individual. And that day I went somewhere, and I wasn't thinking about that person after that. And as I was doing business in his place, this person comes right up alongside of me and says, it's so good to see you. And I knew this was a divine appointment. There was no question of it. So we got together and we began to talk. And this person was going through a crisis, a Christian person was going through a crisis where they needed encouragement and they were crying out to God for help. And it was a divine... See, if we'll walk in tune with God, there's miracles happen all day long, every day, all week long. We have divine appointments because we're made for something. But we are primarily made to give glory to God. And that might seem to be a mundane task, shall we say. Certainly would be to a lost person who would say, well, I don't want to go around praising God. It's because they're so out of sync. They're busy trying to play ball with a guitar instead of realizing the wonderful music that their life can be with God. And I've been around enough to see that walking out of step with God, what it produces in the lives of people, it produces messes upon messes. It produces trouble. So when we look at Psalm 47:1, the enjoyment, the encouragement, the call of God here is to praise the Lord. Give praise to God. So we're going to go through this and just think about that for a bit and see what it has to say to us. I've been so enjoying the Psalms. I think I've said this so many times already because I'm challenged. When I came to this passage, I was challenged because this is 7 verses about praising the Lord. What am I going to talk about? But when I began to study and look at it, I said, whoa, there's something rich here for me. And it was rich for my soul. I trust it'll be rich for yours. Because God's given you a high calling, an incredible calling, to walk in the praises of the Lord, to honor the Lord with your life, with your lips, with every part of you. So in this psalm it says, come everyone. Not just a few people, but the invitation is come everyone. Come everyone. And then it says, clap your hands. In Guatemala, I was there on a mission trip, and I guess I can remember the year because Grace was born that year, in 1991, early 91. And I can tell you, the Spanish people know how to clap their hands. They make music with their hands. And they have all different kinds of beats. And they, you know, all in the whole song. And they're all in sync together when they do it too. And I thoroughly enjoyed their worship in their churches as I went from different churches to preach and teach. Because they knew how, they certainly had no shyness about clapping their hands to the Lord. And it's a scriptural enjoyment to clap your hands, to use your body to praise God. Not just your lips, but your body. And it goes even further than that. So I would venture to say that this psalm is expressing maybe a tiny little bit of excitement about God, right? You know, you see a little child at Christmas and all of a sudden they go, they see something that they like or whatever and they're all excited. Wow, this gives me that kind of a picture. Clap your hands to the Lord. It's not like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to lift my hands up this high and I'm going to have to put them together like this. So this is a lot of work, right? No, this is like, oh, excitement, right? Clap your hands. And then what does it say?
Shout
to God. Now, is God deaf?
No.
Is he hard of hearing?
No.
Why does it say shout to God with joyful praise?
Because he's so far away.
That's what it must be. Because yeah. He's so far away. What's that, Alan? Because you're so full of joy. It's bursting out of you. But you might say, well, you know, I'm kind of a reserved person. I could never clap my hands. Or I could never. What are you going to do in heaven? You know, what are you going to do there? I mean, that is the whole, my body is to give praise to God. And there's a release in that. There's a joy in that. That is part and parcel of your privilege as a Christian. Let the Lord play your strings. Let the Lord use you. Because you were made to give praise to God, not just with your lips, but with your body too. And this idea of shouting to God is an expression of, you know, absolute joy. I can't keep silent. It's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shout to God with joyful praise. Another group of people that I enjoy worshiping with are black people. Because they love to praise the Lord verbally and audibly. And I was in Louisiana and I had this privilege of going to an old folks' home to do a service. And I had actually been there the year before doing one in the same place. But this time, we got there and this other group got there at the same time. And somehow we had gotten double booked. But these were folks from a black church. So they said, let's worship the Lord together. I said, that's what we're going to do. And it was awesome. And furthermore, when I started preaching, amen, hallelujah. I said, boy, I got excited, right? It was wonderful. They were worshiping God. They weren't quiet. You know, sometimes you're preaching to a group of people and they're all so deadpan. You don't know if they're alive or dead. But they were alive. I'm telling you. I told them I was done. I said, I'm going to be a black preacher from now on. I might need a little shoe polish. But I'll tell you, sometimes by the end of the summer when I'm out making hay, I'm pretty near black. Now, of course, sometimes that can be cultural. And your preacher people can be saying and doing things where there isn't the heart. But I want you to know that this is talking about heartfelt worship. It says, come, come. This is an invitation. Come, come everyone. Not some, but come everyone. Clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. Honor the Lord. And you know, it says with joyful praise because we have so much to give thanks to God for. The Bible says in one of the Psalms, it says, He dwells in the praises of His people. There's something special about praising the Lord. You know, there's a lot of times I haven't really felt like going to church. I'll tell you a little secret, right? Sometimes I feel like rolling over in bed, right? And trouble is I just can't do that, you know? I get there. If I don't get there, somebody's got to notice, right? You stay home and maybe, I guess she wasn't here. So what? Everything goes on. But if I don't show up, it kind of, you know, stuff causes a little monkey wrench and stuff, right? But I can tell you, even though that's been the case at times, I have never found, after service was over, gee, I wish I had stayed home. I've never said that. Because the Lord has met me. And the Lord meets us in the praises of His people. Whether it's country and Western music or whether it's contemporary music, it doesn't matter. If we're giving praise to God, the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. Whether you can sing or you can't sing, so what? Praise God. What's that?
It doesn't say it has to be perfect pitch.
No, it doesn't. No, that's right.
It says noise.
It's joyful. Noise.
Yeah.
So shout to God with joyful praise. And the idea of shouting here is, I am so excited I can't. It's not a quiet thing. And here's why. So He says, for the Lord Most High is awesome. Do you think that the generation, I don't know if they use that so much now, but it was a big word for a while. Everybody's saying awesome, awesome, awesome. Do you think they invented the word awesome? No. Go all the way back to the Psalms. The Lord Most High is awesome. He's awesome. If you begin to praise God and you begin to see God for who He is, and often as you praise Him, God opens your eyes a bit farther and you see Him as He is, you'll get excited about Him and more excited and praise Him and glorify Him and honor Him. I really encourage people, when you go to prayer, most times when you go to prayer, I'm going to venture to guess this, when you go to prayer, you pray four things. The first thing is honor the Lord, glorify the Lord. Did I give you guys homework a while back?
Mm-hmm.
Was it like,
yes,
to spend time praying to God
without
asking for one thing?
Yes.
Did anybody try that?
I did.
Okay.
I went for a walk the next morning.
Okay.
And I did that the whole time. And I didn't ask for anything, but everything I thanked him for, I thought about something. Oh, I should ask. Yeah. You were right.
Yeah.
I managed not to do it, but I thought about it.
Okay. Well, you could have asked him for everything after that, if you could remember it. But it is a little bit of an exercise because we are so prone for gimme, gimme, get. We want, instead of looking at the Lord, focusing on God, praising God, because what ends up happening is that God becomes the means to our ends and not the center of our worship. And he's meant to be the center of our worship above the things that you're asking for. Put him first. The Lord Most High is really awesome. He really is. And as you get to know him, and as you discover more of who he is, you begin to see how awesome he is. And then praise begins to increase in your experience as you discover, because he is the great king of all the earth. That's enough reason right there. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king of all the earth. I never had a problem being excited about my wife, about loving my wife. I can honestly tell you I have loved my wife singularly, and she's amazing. That's what I'm going to tell you. She's amazing. You don't have any problem praising up somebody that's special to you, that you see their attributes and you see the way they are and how they live and those kinds of things. The more you get to know a person like that, the more you want to laud them, to praise them, to serve them. And so if we can do that with people that we love, can we actually begin to live that way with God and find ourselves to be a people who praise the Lord and give him glory? And the Lord Most High is awesome. He's the great king of all the earth. And on top of that, his awesomeness, his fullness, his authority, his rulership, all the attributes of him and who he is, as we saw in a few psalms ago, as we talked about the wedding or the bride and the groom, we see this kind of an expression here. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us. He puts our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants whom he loves. And then it's an interlude or Selah. I have it in the NLT here that I'm using. I just realized that when it said interlude. And so he says, he, the Lord, does this. And this is speaks of the victories that the Lord has won. It speaks of the fact that God has won the victories for them. The enemies were the ones who were against them, the ones who wanted to destroy Israel. But what did he do? He promised that promised land. He chose it, and he acquired it. He actually did it. And so there's statements here that may not apply to you directly, but they'll apply to you in the sense that he has provided for us. He has provided for us in that he subdues our enemies. You have an enemy. You have more than one. You have Satan. You have all the demons of hell who want to torment you, who want to keep you from life, who want to keep you from joy, want to keep you from peace. And here he says, I'm praising God because I'm safe. The Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Boy, I was good to have the Lord on my side because the devil's stronger than me. Is he stronger than you? Mm-hmm. He's been around a lot longer than you have. He was there when Jesus was crucified. He's pretty wise in terms of knowing things. And you will never defeat him in your own strength or power. And people are in his grip and they don't even know it. The world is in his grip and they don't even know it. The Bible says the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. That is the world system. Now the world, the universe in itself, lies in the hands of God. But the world system has been sold out to Satan, and it happened in the Garden of Eden. And as a result of that, people are blind to the control of the devil in their lives. Now we know some people are satanic worshipers or whatever. The folks were down in New Orleans and they came... Tracy said, what a wicked city. What a wicked city in terms of voodooism and Satanism and dark practices are openly practiced everywhere in New Orleans. But you don't have to do those things to be under the influence of the devil. My goodness, Peter was one who was following Jesus. And what did Jesus turn around and say to him? Get behind me, Satan. You favor the things of God rather than the things of man. How would you like that if a preacher came to you and said, get behind me, Satan? You'd be kind of pretty overwhelmed, wouldn't you? But Jesus was identifying, Peter, you're letting the devil use you here. You're letting the devil use you. You don't have to do this. And it's important for us to realize that. But God has won the victory for us. He has accomplished a victory. He has put our enemies beneath our feet. And he has given us the promised land as our inheritance. Now that promised land is already yours when you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But of course there's that ultimate promised land that we've been promised, guaranteed by 1 Peter. It says that he has guaranteed us heaven. That he has reserved a place in heaven for us. So we have been given the promised land as our inheritance. And not only is it says it's the proud position of Jacob's descendants, this, the true spiritual promises, because these were physical promises, they were pictures of the spiritual, are ours in Jesus Christ. And they are wonderful possessions. And it, what does it say about the descendants of Jacob? Which you are, if you're a descendant by faith. You may not be a physical descendant, a Jew, but the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that if you're a descendant of Abraham by faith. Some of Abraham's descendants are not truly Abraham's descendants because they never believed in God. But if you believe in God, you become one of the children of Abraham. And what does it say that God's regard is to those? In Psalm 47:4.
He chooses our inheritance for us.
Pardon me?
He
chose
our inheritance for us.
Yeah. What does he say he is towards us? What does he? What's his reaction towards us? He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. You don't got to go out and pick a daisy. Loves me, loves me not. He loves me, loves me not. Right? He loves us. Yeah. Well, I didn't say he. I said she, okay? Just letting you know. When I was a kid. Yeah, I remember doing that, yeah. But anyway, you don't have to do that with God. You don't have to... He doesn't love me. He loves us. He passionately loves us. You know, this psalm seems to carry with it not only the situation where they achieved a victory in Israel, but look in Psalm 47:5. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. What does that give you a picture of? Ascended, not descended.
Oh, sorry. Ascended to
heaven. The resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord. And we know that there was a mighty earthquake at his resurrection. And of course his ascent into heaven as he takes his place at the right hand of the Father. That God reigns. He has accomplished the victory. You see him subduing the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath his feet. And how does he do that? He does that through the cross. He did it through his death. And that he wins a possession for himself. He wins heaven for us. And then he ascends into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And of course someday he will return, as you mentioned there. And so this is the victory that God has won. So he says, he starts out with us telling us that we ought to be the worshipers of God, right? Come everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise, because he's the Lord Most High is awesome. He's the great King of all the earth. He subdues nations before, put our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised lands there. All the things that he did, all that he has accomplished, he has won the victory. That's what is being expressed here. He has accomplished it all. He's ascended, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne, he's in control. So then what should we be doing? Psalm 47:6. Sing praises to God. In case you sometimes might feel, oh, some of these songs, they keep saying the same phrase over and over again. That's no good. What do we see here in Psalm 47:6? Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. That's a little repetitive, isn't it? Sure is. But do you get the message? Sing praises. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Keep on praising the Lord. And now it has entered into it here where it hadn't before that. There was a mighty shout. There was the shouting to God. There was clapping to God. But now there's what?
Singing
to God, right? There is singing to the Lord. Music's purpose. God is the author of music, friends. And its highest purpose is to give God glory. That's its highest purpose. Years ago, I was playing guitar with somebody, Jimmy. And as we were playing, he said something to me. Something about God songs that are different than any other kind of song. Something unique about God songs. That's what he said. So I'm quoting him tonight. And he's right. There's something unique about singing praises to God. There's something amazing, because that's what music was made for. It's just like we said, a guitar was made for playing. You were made for praising God. And music's highest calling is to give glory to God. It isn't, "You left me for another." That isn't what music's purpose was, right? It was to give glory and honor to the Lord. Now, it can be used for other things, to give, you know, love songs, all these other kinds of things. Don't misunderstand me. It is used. And it is an incredible gift to mankind, is it not? Wonderful gift. But it finds its greatest place in honor and praise and glory to Jesus Christ. Whatever style of music. I mean, have you ever sat down and listened to Handel's Messiah, which is classical, but incredible, as it takes the scriptures and brings them to life with classical music, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but boy, when it's giving glory to God the way that it is there. You've heard some of Handel's Messiah, you all have. The Hallelujah Chorus, King of Kings, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Lord of Lords, Hallelujah, you know. Or, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Just incredible. It's incredible. And then, of course, there's whether it's country music, which I enjoy, whether it's, you know, I have to say, there was one kind of music one time. Some guy invited me to go and speak on a street in Sydney, on Charlotte Street, actually, and he said, "We got this band coming in." And these guys were supposed to be doing Christian music, but they were the grungiest group I ever heard in my life, and I can stand some pretty good rock music. But these guys were screaming. Then they rolled on the gravel. There's a kind of a little bit of a gravel spot there. He was rolling on the gravel. He was getting all cut because there was glass there.
Oh,
so I finally said, and actually, I was there. The guy that was kind of organized, I said, "Well, you can preach now." I said, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do." And then I wouldn't stop preaching. And they said, they were coming over and they were saying, "We got to get back to the music ministry, brother." And I just kept on speaking, because I thought to myself, this is not ministry. This is not glorifying the Lord. So I kept on speaking. And before that, the crowds were running by. Nobody stayed. And they were running by, right? But as I began to preach the word, people began to gather around and listen. So finally, they cut the mic off on me, and they started going again. Well, about 2 minutes later, the police showed up. I said, "We're getting complaints from everywhere here. You've got to shut this thing down," right? Well, anyway, I'm off track. But glorify the Lord with music. That really, I'm so sad to say, wasn't music. Yeah. But glorify the Lord. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, because God is King over all the earth. Praise Him with a psalm. Give Him the glory. You know, I know we spend quite a bit of time singing each time, but I consider it worthwhile. I consider it centering your minds, your heart, and your soul on the Lord. And I'm being obedient here. Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, right? Not just one song. Well, let's sing half a song. Let's sing two verses, and let's get down to the meat of the word, right? No. You want to get to the meat of the word? I need to know the Savior. I need to see Him. I need to experience God in my life. Worship the Lord. Give Him glory. He's the King over all the earth. Praise Him with a song. God reigns above the nations, sitting on His holy throne. You know, your eyes get open and you realize, hey, God's in control. He's reigning even in the kingdom of men. Even when bad things happen to good people, God's still on the throne. God reigns among the nations. I'm glad to know that. Sometimes, you know, we can have questions. Well, if God reigns, how can He allow this to happen? How can He allow that to happen? If God is so much in control, why doesn't He stop that from happening? And why doesn't He stop that from happening? Listen, you want to think that one through, because here's the answer to that. If you want God to stop the evil in the world, then you want Jesus to come back now and stop it all. Are you going to select? Oh, I don't want God to do, I want God to stop that. But here's the problem. Most people don't want to stop the evil in their own hearts. You get that? They want God to stop somebody else's evil, because they think somebody else's evil is worse than theirs. They have no idea how evil we can be. We have no idea how serious one sin is in the sight of a mighty God. How serious our sin is in the sight of a mighty God. And so on one hand, yes, we can say, Lord, how long before You come and judge this earth because of the wickedness that is here? And I have said that prayer to God. But at the same time, I've said, oh, Lord, have mercy. Save many more before You come. Because, well, here's the gist of it. Most people want God to stop other people's wickedness, but not their own. And what they want to be able to do is to keep on sinning and God fixing the problems as a result of it. They want to say, we want to do what we want, but we don't want to have those terrible consequences of sin. We don't want the murder and the mayhem in the world, but we just don't want to do our own thing, that's all. You want to do your own thing, you're going to have murder and mayhem. God still reigns, though. Because right now He's plucking people out from sin. He's saving people all over the planet. He still reigns above the nations. He's still sitting on His holy throne. And He is still saving sinners as He rescues lost people throughout the planet before He comes again to judge the living and the dead. And how important it is then for people to be absolutely ready to meet the Lord. He's reigning above the nations. He's not on vacation. He hasn't missed a beat. He knows exactly what's going on. I'm going to go to the NKJV here. I don't like this translation for teaching. Because it says in Psalm 47:7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. It isn't, God's not interested in bubbleheads. Remember years ago they used to have them bubbleheads.
No, bobbleheads.
Bobbleheads. Yeah. What? Bobble.
Bobbleheads,
yeah. Well, when I was a kid, I remember there was a program, I think it was a soap called Dr. Kildare. Now, that's a long time ago. Yeah. Boy, the old people are showing up now. What's that? And anyway, I remember there were bobblehead dolls of him. You bounce the head and the head come on, boom, boom, boom. So God's not interested in bobbleheads, just people who are, you know, just assenting to things, saying, yeah. Or empty praise. It says, sing praise with understanding. Sing praises with your mind. It's reality. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God, to know who God is. And God is a reasonable God. We sung a song earlier, come let us reason together, says the Lord. The Lord is interested in your mind. He's not interested in mindless idiots. He's not interested in people that are just, doing things. He wants you to know God personally and understand Him and walk with Him and grow in a relationship with Him. Sing praises with understanding. Get to know your God. It's not empty mantras. You know, some of the Eastern religions, the whole idea is to chant stuff. So you could say, oh, praise the Lord, 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 and keep on doing that until you empty your mind so you're brainless. you know, sitting there saying something over and over and over again. The whole purpose behind those, that kind of stuff, is to empty your brain. God wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill your mind with thoughts of the Lord. He wants you to be cognizant. The Bible says, for example, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That God wants you to be in control, not out of control. Under the control of the Spirit of God produces self-control in your life, and it gives you, your mind is being used with understanding and praising God. So it's not empty worship. It's not words being repeated over and over again. It's heartfelt, true recognition of who God is and worshiping Him. Sing praise with understanding. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. When it speaks of the shields of the earth, it is the shields represented the nations. It's kind of like the crests of the earth. All the crests of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. He rules. He rules tonight in this world. Now, I want to get in sync with God and stay there as much as possible in my experience. I want to be one who shouts to the Lord, who claps to the Lord. It's very hard when you're playing guitar to clap to the Lord. Well, lots of times I wish I was clapping instead of playing guitar. But I want to be one who honors the Lord. I want to be one who recognizes the glory of God, who He is. I want to be one who sings to God and sing all the day long to the Lord. Give Him glory. Gather together around the Lord. He is greatly exalted. The Lord is praised throughout this planet. There's a song, I believe it's Petra. And it goes like this. Somebody's gonna praise His name. Somebody's gonna call Him Lord. It'll either be you or me, or it's gonna be a rock or tree. Somebody's gonna praise His name. Remember what Jesus said as He was coming into Jerusalem and the triumphal entry as He was riding on the colt of a donkey? And the people, the Pharisees said, and the children were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. Do you remember what the Pharisees said? Tell them to hold their peace. Tell them to be quiet. Tell them to shut up. And what did Jesus say?
Even the rocks and stones.
He said, if these ones are silent, the very rocks will cry out. The very rocks will cry out. Do you know the Bible uses this kind of imagery? It says the trees of the field shall clap their hands in the book of Isaiah and in the Psalms as well. That all nature is constantly giving glory to God. It is. The starry nights, the wonderful sunsets, the roaring rivers, everything is giving glory to God. Except sadly, the crown of His creation is not. I want to be one. Do you? Do you? Amen. Let's give Him glory. Well, let's sing a song. Can't quit. Let's sing a song.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great glorious King. You are strong and moving weak. Your burden must come be. Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior, the one, Lord of heaven. Brandon.